Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back, and if you're just tuning in, we're going through the three stages of your money and your life, from the getting draw stage and transfer of wealth stage. If you just tuned in, we talked about what are the pieces of getting started: your GPS, your budget, emergency fund, number two, getting the proper insurance so you don't lose, number three, we stick to good debt, no bad debt, number four, we save, put 20% down on the house and get moving. We have an estate plan that will be a will or a trust, depending on if you have children and guardians and stuff like that, and you save $100,000. And so then you start involving yourself in the investment business. How do you go about doing it? You know, the investment business has evolved in every way you can imagine. You've heard of all these different things to you can invest in. We've got, you know, stocks, bonds, we've got crypto, we got everything you'd imagine when it comes to investments. But how do you purchase those? And I'm going to give you kind of an update on, or not an update, but kind of a timeline of how things started. It used to be stockbrokers were out there. You heard of them. You can, and you, if you look at any of the movies out, that it's always negative. Something bad about a stockbroker. And the reason it was bad was because a stockbroker got paid if you lost money. So if you came in and they made a recommendation and, you know, said buy the stock for $100, you paid them a commission, and then they said, oh, it's not good, you sell it for $50, they got another commission. And so what was happening, you're buying individual stocks, you know, diversification, individual bonds, they made a commission when you bought, when you sold. If you made money or lost money, it had nothing to do with anything. And there's things called churning, which are laws that are against that, but, you know, that kind of stuff happened. So then people are like, hang on a second, that's no good. Let's just do it ourselves, all right? And that's where you go buy no-load funds. You do your own research. You begin investing. And, you know, my experience has been that, you know, very few people do well doing that. But a lot of people think they do well. But when the market goes the wrong way, they may not be quite there. But you can do that. You would do your own research. It's called a no-load fund. And you would call up one of the different fund families, and you would do your research, and you would set up an account, and you would do that kind of stuff. Then it became brokerage accounts. Brokerage accounts were really kind of the same as same time as these do-it-yourself accounts. And what a brokerage account was, you could buy mutual funds. What is a mutual fund? A mutual fund is basically you buy into a pool of stocks that's been mutually funded by numbers of people, of stocks, bonds, different things like that. And you can buy all different types of mutual funds. But the idea behind the mutual fund was you only paid when you went in. If you went through a brokerage account, you paid a commission. You got diversification rather than just one stock. And when you sold it, you don't pay a commission. So what happens is, rather than going in and, you know, buying one stock and paying a commission and selling it, whatever, you went in and you bought hundreds of stocks. And in many cases, you can even buy portfolios. And these portfolios have five or six funds tied to it. And those funds have 100 to 300 companies in there, stocks, bonds, et cetera. And if you leave it in one spot, you got discounted commissions if you went into one family of funds. And so that's how it evolved there. So you start looking at mostly the brokerage accounts. You know, there's a lot of different levels before you can go to the fiduciary side, but generally it's $100,000 or more you can go into the fiduciary side. Now, what's the difference in a fiduciary account that you've heard of and maybe a brokerage account? That's where in a fiduciary account, there's no commissions charged. It's actually an advisory fee. So if you work with someone like myself, and I'm a fiduciary, I've also got my brokerage account type license as well. What would happen is let's say you came in and you had $100,000. We would look at what you're doing, and there's really four pieces to what I tell people I do. The first thing that I do is I help you get a plan together. So what we talked about, that GPS, we give you an idea where you're at. We sit down. We look at where your finances are now. Let's look at what you earn, you know, what some of your goals are. Generally speaking, the first thing out of my mouth, if I meet with someone, you know, you took the time to meet today, what's the goal? And they say, well, I got some little kids, and or you know, I'm older, and I want to make sure my family gets the money right. There's no fights. I mean, we go through this whole thing. And so the first thing we do is we get a plan. And then after we get the plan with the goals and stuff like that, I'm going to go into what I consider the education stage. And my goal is to get the client educated so they understand when we're talking to each other what I mean. And then that way that keeps people engaged in the process. The third thing we do is we give specific advice. And that's what the fee is for. It's actually the fee is charged as a percentage of the account, but then it becomes a percentage of the value of the account for the advice. So we start out, we get a goal, all right? We figure out what we want to do, and then we get into the stage of let's get a plan together, let's get advice going, get educated, all right? And then what we do from there is we have ongoing management where you meet with the advisor. Anything having to do with money, you try to get the best information you can from that so you don't make bad decisions. I'll give you some examples of things that I've seen happen. People get in debt, and then they go take money out of their 401k and pay the debt off, and they think that's a good move, and then they got killed when they could have maybe done an equity line of credit. Or I see people that have plenty of income to fully fund their 401ks, which you can put upwards of $30,000 in there in a year, but they put in what is only being matched, and they lose all the tax savings. And so we just see all these kind of things. So advice. And then what we do is we go through, we have a product marketplace, and I tell people I'm pretty much a personal shopper, all right? And I have access to everything out there. I'm a personal shopper, so it gives me access to all this. So what does a fiduciary account do? It's a big, encompassing thing that gets you fully diversified, thousands and thousands of options to be able to choose from. And then the last thing is, in that same mindset, is we have an insurance marketplace. And what the insurance marketplace allows to do is to shop. You go out there and shop your insurance. You get the best, you know, of everything based on who you are, what your levels are. You know, it's funny about insurance companies. If you're a bad driver, okay, some companies like you. Okay, if you're a good driver, some companies like you. But you know what? The bad drivers, if they go to the companies that like good drivers, they'll just pay more money. And so we have all these things where we can go shop that. We shop your life insurance, annuity, all that kind of stuff. So that's how investment fees have evolved over time. So more than likely, if you're a smaller investor, you're either going to do it yourself or you're going to go through a brokerage account like a mutual fund. If you have made it up a little ways to where you're, you know, $100,000 or more, and generally speaking, you might be able to get into a fiduciary account and then you get to shop the insurance. So how does someone getting started, what should they do generally speaking? My basic rule of thumb is this, all right? Number one, they're going to have about 25% of their money, and this is not everyone, but in general, about 25% of their money is going to be in something that's guaranteed. They're going to have a bank account. They're going to have a money market account for an emergency fund. They might go buy an insurance policy like an indexed life insurance policy that allows you to get, it's like a retirement plan that has tax-free growth in it, and it's got a death benefit to it, and it also gives you a way to pull money out later in life. You're probably not going to get involved with annuities at that point because annuities are generally, you know, something, you know, they got penalties if you pull out before you're 59 and a half. So when you're young, you're not doing that. And then you're going to put 75% of your money, you're going to be sending it to probably a mutual fund. It's maybe your 401k or a Roth IRA, stuff like that. So that's how you get started. So those are getting started plans. That's the way we go about doing that. So let me give you an example. Let's say your goal is $100,000 and you got 9% interest. All right. So at 9% interest, if you began with zero in 5 years, $1,392 a month would get you there at 9%. If you were able to get, had 10 years, it would cost you $547 a month if you got 9%. So what happens is you go and you do that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to finish and we'll come in. When we come back out of the break, we're going to get into an action plan. I got an 11-point action plan for you. What we do is educate. Our goal is educating people when it comes to money. And when we do that, it gives you a chance to go get financially independent. And so visit RoyMatlockJr.com and we'll be right back.